It's Tuesday, July 31st, 2012, and welcome to episode 134 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Tech Talk for Teachers, and we've got a number of things for you this time. First up, we're going to have Countdown to Back to School.
So fast.
We'll share some of the things that are currently going on, how far behind we are.
That's right. And all of the things on our to-do list.
To-do list before school starts.
Yes.
And then we'll share some items in the news. July continues to be, a lot of news and things going on out there. So we'll share some of the items that caught our interest out there in the news. And then finally, we'll end up with our technology picks of the week, or should I say gadgets.
I think that's perfect.
Gadget picks of the week this time, because Cindy and I both have a new device to share with you.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get started. And here we go. Welcome to our Countdown Back to School section, and today I thought we would share some of the things that we've been doing this summer, as well as we're quickly approaching August, and August is kind of that panic button.
Very quickly.
for all of the support people, for sure, trying to get everything done. So one of the things that's kept me busy over the summer is I taught an emerging technologies course.
Right.
So we wrapped that up a couple weeks ago, and that was a pretty intense six-week course. It was a hybrid course, or called blended learning, whatever term you want to use, but it was half face-to-face and half online.
And these were with current classroom teachers.
Current classroom teachers, so it really was a joy to teach because you had practicing teachers out there that could immediately put the technology to use.
And planning how they were going to apply it in their classroom in the next few weeks.
Yes.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So it gave them an opportunity to kind of see what's new out there. And as the instructor, you're always struggling, depth versus breadth of material.
Right.
Because we could go on for years. But we mainly concentrated. We always take a look at, kind of what some of the trending topics are in education. Flipped learning was one of the huge topics this summer.
Right.
And even though that's been going on for the last 3 to 5 years with the Khan Academy and things, it really picked up steam in spring and going into summer, and a lot of press being devoted to it. So I think we mentioned last time on the last podcast where they had the Flipped Learning Network conference going on up in Chicago.
Right.
So we took a good look at that. We concentrated on podcasts. We started off doing some audio podcasts, and I think it's very important to pay attention to the audio because that directly applies to when you make screencasts with the video portion of it. And somebody once said, video, 70% of video is audio. And it really does make a difference to quality. If you go out to YouTube and just click on some random things, the ones with the good audio, just keep your attention so much better and you're less likely to click off of it.
Right, because otherwise sometimes it's a distraction.
Right.
When you don't have the good audio.
And then the other thing, we always kind of practice what we preach with differentiated learning. Everybody had their own group and looked at a Web 2.0 technology in depth. And then the final week we did our presentations. So it went really well. Went very, very fast. I had warned them.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, yeah. And we had a very good group this time. So, and I look forward, I extended the invitation, with all these Web 2.0 tools, Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, our YouTube channel, we're starting to do more with that. It doesn't end when the class is over.
No. And did you have a diverse grade level?
Yes. Yeah.
Group?
We went to kindergarten through high school.
Very nice. And
so,
everything applied to everyone just in a different way.
Exactly. We kind of tailored it to what their needs were.
Nice.
And we let them pick their own topics. Just introducing, I was a little surprised that not many of them were real versed with podcasts and the audio, with the diversity of podcasts out there. I think people think, NPR radio and some of the, the big ones out there. But they had no idea that there's thousands of educators all across the world, really, doing their own audio podcast and sharing what they're doing in the classroom. So that was good.
Wonderful. Well, we've been doing a lot of professional development, a lot of PD. Summer is our busiest time because that's when we can actually get the teachers away from school and get them for a block of time, which is always good. So we spent a lot of time with much like you, our teachers range usually from fourth grade through high school mm-hmm. that we work with. Touched a little bit, you know, we're all learning the Common Core standards and how that's going to fit into social studies instruction, but other areas as well. But it was really a action-packed summer. We did a lot with the website, Library of Congress website, of course, and creating classroom activities and that. But we did a couple of field trips or site visits. Mm-hmm. And they were wonderful. We did the Dana Thomas House in Springfield, which is one of the Wright homes, mm-hmm. which is just beautiful.
Yeah, Frank Lloyd Wright.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, went online and saw the resources available. Mm-hmm. Based on those homes, whether it's architecture or the math, you know, they're just, it just exploded into all of these other topics. Mm-hmm. And we spent some time at the Illinois Holocaust Museum, which was amazing. And that's an institution that has some wonderful resources on their website, and they're mm-hmm. building that for teachers. Mm-hmm. So teachers that can't physically visit can at least see the exhibits and find items to use in their classroom.
Yeah, and I think you have a page dedicated to that TPS?
We're developing it.
Okay.
Because with copyright and other issues, there's not a lot of material on the Holocaust in the Library of Congress. Mm. So that's been something we've been working on, but we are working with more of the civil rights aspect mm-hmm. of it.
And, you know, I follow Library of Congress on Twitter, and I think I was seeing some things. They were doing some survivor interviews and things as well.
They're trying to collect some different resources, and much like the Veterans History Project, mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. they're doing the multimedia, mm-hmm. where they have audio, video, and then scanned mm-hmm. documents. And, of course, we did have the opportunity. We met with Ms. Magda Brown. She was a Holocaust survivor. And she hung out with us for a little bit and had lunch with us. Mm-hmm. And even though technology is wonderful, boy, being in mm-hmm. the presence of someone and hearing mm-hmm. them personally tell their story mm-hmm. is amazing. Yeah. So, you know, while we have the real primary sources, it's nice to be able to access them. Mm-hmm. But someday when we don't,
right.
thank heavens that we have the technology we do now.
Yeah.
So we'll have those things recorded mm-hmm. and, you know, maybe our grandchildren's grandchildren mm-hmm. will still be able mm-hmm. to access those things and learn about those events as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so it's been a busy, busy summer. July just flew by, and I just can't even believe we're at August's door. Yeah. All the teachers I talk to say the same thing. They're switching into back-to-school gear.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all are, and, you know, as I said, we're coming right up on August, and that's kind of where I flip that switch, and it's, like I said, kind of hit the panic button because of all the things we have yet to do. I would say we're about 60% of where we would like to be for the summer, so I've got another two and a half weeks to really hit it hard.
With equipment or with equipment, or all the above?
All of the above. Uh-huh. We've got so many things going on. We do have a new learning management system. We're switching to Desire to Learn. So all of the web CT things,
right.
that's going to stay concurrent in fall. So faculty will have a choice if they want to stay with web CT this fall and then make the conversion to Desire to Learn in the spring of 2013. So that's a huge undertaking in my world for sure, because we're getting support staff and things up to speed with all the different ones. And we had a 2-day training session last week that I attended, and it looks really, really nice. I'm really excited to get started. In fact, I'm teaching another class this fall. I'm going to kick the tires on it real hard in the fall to get it going.
Is it more user-friendly?
Yeah, it's a lot more user-friendly, and, you know, we were using the older version of Web CT, so a lot changes in technology. And it's very HTML5 friendly, so it's with the modern browsers. It's friendly, and, you know, like I said, one of the things that we're trying to do a little bit more in between all the installations and things, we've been adding some content out there to the ITC YouTube channel. So if you want to check out that screencast that I was talking about with the teachers,
right.
One thing that surprised me, we were probably 90% plus of the teachers that I had, and we had 20 in that class, had smart boards
right.
in their classroom. And probably one of the best kept secrets with smart notebook software is there's actually a recorder that you can make screencasts with nothing more than the smart notebook software.
Really?
So I showed them how to do that. Actually, I showed them a free open source program to how to make a screen recording or a screencast. Yeah. And I actually posted one out there on YouTube for them, because one of the challenges, like I said, 6 short weeks. And if you show somebody so much different, you know, your brain can only absorb so much.
Right.
So I put a screencast up there on how to use the Smart Notebook Recorder to make a screencast.
Perfect.
So it's about a 5 or 6 minute screencast that walks you through the steps of how to do that. And, you know, it was after the class was over, but I posted a message in our bulletin board system, and you know, if they so choose, that resource is available out there for them on YouTube. So that's youtube.com/EIUITC.
Okay, that's a great reminder, because sometimes, you know, we do so much so fast that we recall some of it, and to have tools like that available. Also, as teachers are getting ready, you know, they know students that are going to be coming into their class. Mm-hmm. And teachers can do things like that before the students even get to their classroom.
Right.
And it's little introductory pieces.
And talking about the different grade levels and things, you know, a kindergarten, first, second, third grade teacher looks at that tool a lot differently than a high school teacher
Absolutely.
Does. So we were talking about, well, you know, you could make a little learning center.
Right.
And rotate your children, you know, from one station to another. Same thing with a podcast, you know, throwing some ideas. The audio for sure is a lot less work. Whenever you start doing the video and editing things, it starts getting a little bit more time involved. But just something simple as just making a little audio recording of something and then putting 2 or 3 students in a little learning center, a little group, and let them do the activities. Or better yet, let them record, you know, do a book report or something on it, and then share that amongst the class. And that would be a sharing mechanism.
Very cool.
So, yeah. So we've got all the new installations, and something we've not really even thought about yet is that means all the old equipment has to, you know, be returned and surplused and wiped all the data and things off of. So we've got that, the new learning management system, Desire to Learn. We'll be getting some new ITC staff coming in, so I'm starting to turn. We've got to cover hours. We were open about 70 hours a week in the fall, so we'll be looking to hire some student workers to keep that going. And then with the Active Directory and all of the changes and things with all of the different systems, there's been more than enough work to keep us busy over summer.
Which is why our summers go by so fast.
Yes, they do. Okay, we're back, and for our next segment, we'll take a look at what's in the news in the last couple of weeks. And again, summer continues at a furious pace, so both here locally and also nationally and worldwide, there's just all kinds of news out there.
It reiterates the changes that have happened over time. It seems like I'm constantly reminded that what I believed was cool is no longer cool.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm trying to keep up. I'm just trying to, hey, it's like a merry-go-round that's just going around and around. And I'm running alongside trying to jump on.
Well, it's good that you're running around, because it's the end of July, and that means the Olympics.
It is. And that is one of the most obvious changes with Twitter. I mean, the growth of Twitter.
Yeah, in the last 4 years, I was thinking that the other night as I was watching them on television. Although Twitter was around, but it did not have the, let's see, what's the term? Critical mass, I guess.
There you go.
Didn't have the critical mass that it now does. And, you know, the night before the Olympics, the opening ceremony was on Friday night, and the night before, Twitter actually crashed because of all the traffic.
Right. Well, one of the first stats that I saw was, even in days going up to it, before it even started, that there were already more tweets mentioning the Olympics than there were in the entire
history of Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah. In the entire Olympics last time.
Yeah.
And so when they said that, I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting, mm-hmm. because it's not just those of us watching at home, but the athletes, and the fact that they had to make social media rules.
Yeah.
For the athletes and that they are enforcing.
Mm-hmm. And actually, there's been a couple incidents. You know, if you watch in the news, or a couple of athletes said something inappropriate, and I don't know if they were disqualified, kicked off, or whatever.
One didn't even get to go, I believe. They just scratched her completely. And so, the things that maybe, and what this does help us show our students as well, what you say.
Yeah, there are consequences and behaviors that are acceptable out there online, and you just can't use it as a megaphone because literally the world is listening out there.
And it's so interesting because I think it even more so shows this is a cultural change. Mm-hmm. It's not a trend. This is a change to how we do business from this point forward.
And it's difficult because, Friday evening, that was when they were broadcast on NBC mm-hmm. live here in the States. And I'll say that because we do have several international listeners. But during the day, I did my best not to look at my Twitter stream because everybody was using the hashtag pound or hashtag Olympics. And we were seeing that was the opening night, the opening ceremonies. And I was getting glimpses of what was going on in real time in London, in the United Kingdom. And, it was kind of a spoiler alert because I did get to see, or I didn't mean to, but actually somebody in my network had tweeted about who was going to light the torch.
Right.
So I knew that before I even got to watch. In the evening with the time delay.
They should have had the hashtag spoiler alert to go with those, so that way you had the option of reading them or not.
But that is interesting here, once again, in the 21st century with satellite technology and everything, that we're experiencing things in real time, but yet our broadcast is still in the old 20th century model. And I'm sure that has to do with contracts
prime time
and advertising.
Television, exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, but,
and you even know, though I knew, I still watched.
Yeah. I did too. And it was a fantastic opening ceremony. It was really neat what they did.
It was. And, they just get bigger. Boy, we just keep topping ourselves, don't we?
Yeah. I just think of all the pressure of the hosting country.
Exactly.
Because last year I vividly remember China and how impressive that was.
My.
But this was impressive in a different way.
It was.
Other things in the news, technology-wise, Windows 8 and the Microsoft Surface, we mentioned a little bit last time. And they have now officially announced that October 26th is going to be the general availability date.
Uh-huh.
So you'll be able to walk into a store on October 26th and officially get a Windows 8 PC or laptop. And they also did announce just this week that you will also be able to pick up one of the Microsoft Surface ARM tablets on October 26th. The Microsoft Surface, remember we were talking about that new model with the fold-out keyboard and stuff? Those are going to be available on October 26th.
Okay.
Now, when I say ARM,
exactly,
that's a processor. So we're very familiar with PCs or usually Intel processors or AMD are the two main brands. An ARM processor is a different architecture. It's a different way of doing things. And like your iPhone and your mobile phone, those are ARM processors.
Okay.
You can't put – well, you can. I mean, Intel's working very feverishly about doing this. But Intel processors traditionally have been very powerful, but they also use a lot of electricity, which means very, very short battery life.
Sure.
An ARM processor is a RISC technology that conserves the battery life. So all of these tablets, won't do my spoiler alert for what my technology pick of the week is, but all of the tablets and things, whether it be an Android or an Apple iPad, those are ARM processors. They will not, because they are ARM, they will not run like Microsoft Word because it's a different architecture.
Sure.
Now, what Microsoft has been working on is with their Microsoft Surface, they're porting over their Word and Excel and their PowerPoint to a device that has 10, 12 hours battery life.
Right. Because you can get apps that are similar or help you adapt.
Mm-hmm.
But run the true program.
Right. But if you think back over the last 2 or 3 years with all the app stores and things, they're very simple apps. They're one-purpose apps.
Right.
A PC is a multitasking operating system. And with that multitasking, it takes electricity to run the processor. So that's why, like an iPad and things, dedicates itself to more single task. It'll shut something off and dedicate it just to that one app.
Oh, good.
That's
to
why.
Know. Thank
it's
you.
It's all engineering.
Thanks.
Like I said, this stuff's not magic. There's a lot of science and engineering that goes into these. So it's going to be very interesting seeing, and I'm kind of saving my pennies up for, we'll see how attractive that Microsoft Surface tablet is. But the other big news this week is Microsoft sent out for beta testing the Office 2013 product.
So just when you thought you had everything up to date.
If you were up to date with Office 2010, get ready for Office 2013.
That's right.
And again, the whole paradigm of, you know, some people call it a post-PC era, but the whole paradigm of computing's changing because we're gradually moving, you know, it seems rapid, but we've been doing this for a while now. We're gradually moving from our, you know, single PCs and things to this cloud computing model.
Right.
And they have done some impressive work with SkyDrive. You're able to keep all of your data up in there. Microsoft Word, Excel, and PowerPoint all have web apps, which means all you need is a browser. You don't even have to load Office anymore.
Wow.
Some of the new technology with the Office 2013, they actually stream the product to you, so you're not really even installing it.
And so it's just, it'll all be seamless. It'll just mm-hmm. happen without you consciously taking mm-hmm. all of those
that's,
steps.
That's where we're headed. And along with that, it kind of blows up some of the traditional licensing models where we went to a store and bought a box copy sure. and got a CD, DVD. You know, everything's going to be downloaded, streamed. And along with that, I'm sure we're just beginning to see this, all kinds of subscriptions. We're going.
Yes.
So you're going to subscribe to Office. If you
and
want so to have
you
access.
Will need to resubscribe
every month
year
if you want to get that document that
right.
you wrote last month. Yes.
So instead of buying it one time, and our
right.
friends that are using the old versions of Office and are right. perfectly happy with it,
right.
that's going to be a...
Now, we're going to live in both worlds for a while
right.
because we have to make this transition. And there are some rules and regulations and laws, particularly like in healthcare and you know, education, confidentiality issues mm-hmm. and things that you know, all that is yet to be worked out. But we are gradually moving there, and I can just, you know, I just kind of see this slow march and pace as we go there. A lot of companies may choose to keep everything on premise, but right. I am starting to see, you know, more and more companies farm that out to some of these cloud services.
And there are a lot of there are still a lot of people who are nervous about putting their things
yes.
out there that they, you know, just don't feel comfortable well, or like to, you know. You like to hold it in your hand, and mm-hmm. there's that fear. So I think we'll probably have a lot of people as well. It's kind of like when we first started, saving to disk
yeah.
and things like that. Many people printed a copy and kept that print copy
yeah.
because you just didn't know if that yeah. disk was going to last
yep.
or not.
Yep.
So we've gone through these cycles, and we go through the same growing pains
yeah,
every time.
This is another evolution, and you're right. And people will be keeping things both locally and in right. the cloud, because if something happens to the network connection, you are literally out of luck if it's
right.
out there in the cloud.
Well, and when you live someplace like I do,
mm-hmm.
or we do,
right.
you're a few miles away, but
right.
similar situation.
So what they're doing is they're actually syncing like the Dropbox accounts.
Uh-huh.
You have an account locally, and then whenever you get back to something, it will upload the changes and things that you've made.
Dated.
So that's where we're going. We're going to have this transition going
yeah.
back and forth. That way you also kind of have a backup locally and also in the cloud. My technology pick of the week this week is the new Nexus 7 7-inch tablet.
And I guess that means I have to hand it
back
to you.
I get to get it back. I was, I think I mentioned last time that I was looking at this device, and I'm so glad I pre-ordered this because they actually sold out.
Oh, really?
But I just did see an item in the news that they are back in stock, so it appears to be a very popular item. But this is a 7-inch tablet. We'll have a link out there in the show notes, but one of the main there's several things that attracted, and there's also a couple of things that I really dislike about it, but the main thing is the price, $199.
Wow.
7-inch tablet. They have two models. They have an 8-gigabyte model for the $199 and then $249 for the 16-gigabyte model. And this is an Android tablet. And it's very nice. It has a front-facing camera, and you and I were just showing you doing some Skype. We were Skyping back and forth with this. I fired it up on my PC, and I gave Cindy the tablet and had her walk into the other room. Say, hey,
right.
let me call you real quick. So the Skype application works. And also, because this is a Google product, it integrates very well with the Gmail,
nice.
G+, and Google Hangouts. I don't know if you've played around with Google Hangouts.
I'm not.
But with this particular device, I mean, this is so attractive for educators. One, you know, it's affordable. And then secondly, with the Google Hangouts and things, you can actually just do two-way video conferencing. And I think you can have up to 10 people in a Hangout.
Wow.
So you can fire up a Hangout and have 10 of your friends from all over the world. I mean, they don't have to be, you know, the same location at all. And then everybody gets their own little box, kind of like Hollywood is squares,
right.
Except it's a straight line across the bottom. And then whoever's talking, the microphone kind of takes over and puts them in the main center box.
That is very cool.
So to do that, obviously, it is Wi-Fi only. So you do have to have a Wi-Fi connection.
Right.
And that's one of the downsides to this, because if you're not, we're just talking about the cloud, you know, if you lose that connection to the cloud and I wanted to access a document, I can't do
it. It's not there.
Unless I have it here locally on there. It does not have a SD card. That's one of the other things I don't like, but I sprung for the 16 gigabyte model.
That's what I was going to ask you, because you can hold quite a bit.
That's
on this,
a lot.
Yeah.
I did get a free movie, The Transformers. It's downloaded.
And have
I already
you watched
deleted
it?
No, I deleted it off of here. I didn't even get a chance to watch it.
Well,
it was like three.
Me.
It was 3 gigabytes.
Yeah.
It's like
those
I had
precious
to put,
gigabytes.
Yes.
But the video, it was impressive graphics,
yeah,
when you showed me.
Yeah, I think it was 1920 by 1080 or something. It's true 1080p.
Very cool.
1080p quality, but like I said, I kind of gave that up because I've been playing a lot with our YouTube channel and uploading some videos, and then what I did with class and things. Video, you know, the size does add up. That's where my ePad, my old one, that's about a year and a half old now, that's where I love that USB connection that I can,
yes,
portable, copy. I don't need, if I wanted to watch something on it, I can just keep it on the USB and play it from the USB drive.
Right. And USBs are just getting bigger and bigger and cheaper, yeah, and cheaper.
Yeah, it's like $8 now for, you know, and about $1 a gigabyte,
right,
now at Walmart. So I saw them like $7.99 in there the other day. Very, very quick. It has the latest Android operating system, which code name is Jelly Bean. Very, very quick. It's a Tegra 3 processor, quad-core processor, and it is extremely fast. Whenever you zoom in, zoom out, change pages, it's very, very quick. So the other big plus for this is it does have the full Chrome browser, which is huge for me because I use Chrome browser a lot.
Right.
In fact, at our training last week with our Desire to Learn, I was signed into Eastern's Desire to Learn account, so I'm able to do. I didn't find anything that I couldn't do
nice,
with it. Just like the iPad, you know, one of the criticisms is, yeah, but give me a real keyboard to do real work. And it is. It's a browsing device. It's a consumption device. If I want to do any serious typing, paperwork, you know, I'll definitely turn to a laptop or a PC,
right,
doing that. But yeah, I really, really like this device. And I understand, I mean, they were trying to hit that $199 price point, so they did not put the SD card in it, and they did not put a back-facing camera. So a lot of people are complaining about no camera on the back.
Right.
I really never did use a camera on the back of an iPad or anything because I've got, like, the little Kodak Play Sports and all kinds of other cameras, the flip cameras.
Right.
Where
you would get a little better quality,
yeah,
and you could play with them more.
Yeah, and you're going to take it into an editing program or anything,
exactly,
to make it a little bit easier. But I downloaded the Kindle app. Nice thing about that is my entire Kindle library was there, so I'm able to pick and choose what books. And yes, I am still reading Too Big to Know. It's still on my list. I don't know if I've got through the first chapter yet, but
Worst case scenario, next summer we'll do the review.
Yeah, it may be next summer. No, it's on my list. I just, whenever I take my vacation, I'll try getting caught up on some of that. So yeah, it's a great device, and I see that you have something that looks a little Android-ish too.
I do. It must have been the month to get new toys because I got myself a new phone. I went and got a Razer,
mm-hmm,
and one of the things that attracted me to the Razer was the size. Actually, my mm-hmm husband was getting a phone the same time. He went with the iPhone,
mm-hmm,
and I said, it's just too small.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not enough there.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, when he needs check weather or something, he asks for my phone.
Uh-huh.
And that. But it has a huge display, easy to read. man, I'm using the browser on it and things that I never did with my previous phone. Yeah. It's amazing how dependent you become on it. But I, you know, went through the apps, found some Common Core ones, a couple of things like that. I've gone through, I've accessed all my Library of Congress resources that I use and have been able to do it. And, you know, it's just amazing. It definitely doesn't have as the screen that yours does. I love the screen on yours, and it's just, you know, you showed me how you can put it in your shirt pocket, and that it was snug, but it fit.
Yeah.
And that, but yeah, it's not bulky.
It's one-handed device. You know, that's the other thing out there. Yeah, you know, if you're reading books and things, you know, propping up like a 10-inch tablet, it does get heavy. A 10-inch tablet's a little, you know, weighs a little bit more. But this is for an e-reader, and that's what I've been holding off. I didn't buy the original Kindle because I didn't really like the specs and you know, some of the early reviews and things. But when this came out with the quad core Tegra 3, I said that's probably the device. And then, like I said, since we do the Amazon accounts, whether I end up with an Android or an iPad, that Amazon account will follow me because they have apps on both. And I do like to have that flexibility. But it is a tweener device. I call it an in-between. you know, it's like how many gadgets do you need? Because, you know, you go with the phone, and the other does not have a 3G or 4G model at this point. I'm sure they will in the future. But who can afford data contracts,
you know,
out there? So your phone has a data contract. And I guess worst case situation, you could tether this to your phone because you should have to, if Verizon allows that, I'm not sure. I think they do now. But worst case, if you got in a pinch where you would have to do that, you could tether to that device to get it. And since I have this at home and, you know, we both live out in the country where there's not much access, I am probably going to have to break down and get one of the MiFi.
Right.
I currently have the little 3G, and we're still waiting for 4G in our area. They keep saying anytime. And really what I've been waiting is for them to come out with 4G, and then I will get a MiFi.
Right.
And the advantage to that is I could use multiple devices in my house because it's just a hotspot.
So instead of doing a data plan for
my data plan is
just
that one PC that you have to have plugged into that particular PC. So the MiFi, I'm looking forward to it. Come on, Verizon, get the 4G here. yeah, that's where we're at. But yeah, it must be gadget month out here.
It must be. And, you know, I have to say this is kind of silly, but one of the coolest things about the phone I've discovered is the swiping to text and type. I'm just getting
Like the keyboard, the swipe keyboard.
A big kick out of the swipe
now see keyboard. I never use that. I mean, I have the original Droid, and I just use the voice. I talk to it and let it transcribe. But my phone is just a little bit smaller than that Razer, and it's really tight, but I have big hands anyway. But I have always done that voice transcription, and it's pretty good.
I've tried it a couple of times while I've been driving.
You have to always check and see the way it transcribes.
Well, and swiping, too, because sometimes it chooses a different word that makes no sense.
Yeah. Also, I showed you the Google Now where we could come out. And being that this is Illinois and this particular part of the state, there's always a Cubs-Cardinals rivalry. And I don't know if this microphone will pick it up, but this will probably be the only time you ever hear this if this works. So let me try this. What are the Cardinals doing?
The Cardinals lost to the Cubs 4-2. They are playing the Rockies tomorrow at 7:40 p.m.
Okay, so that was Google Now.
That's very
probably
cool.
The one of the few times you'll hear the Cardinals lose to the Cubs. But I'm a Cardinals fan. So.
I am too. And I was at the game Friday when they won. Cardinals won. Yeah. So that was
it. Yeah. So you know, again, as devices and as teachers, this is the world of our students. They have these devices either on their belt, you know, in their lunch boxes, backpacks, whatever they may have, and a service with Google Now. The answers are just literally just a little click away.
And we're under pressure. We have to keep up with them because otherwise they question our our authority. Not so much authority, but, you know, they want to know that we know what's going on.
They want to know what's relevant.
Right.
And the world to them today is what's relevant to them, even though we have all this history and things. And I was the same way. I was one of those kids that's like, you know, come on, let's get with the program, because when I was in college, they were still teaching punch cards. And, you know, the PC revolution was going on. It's like, hey, guys, you know, there's a thing called PC. You just type in your program, hit enter, and you have results.
So. I took typing class.
So. Yeah, typing and all of that. So, those are our technology picks of the week. We'll have links out there for you in the show notes. And that should wrap up this segment. That wraps it up for episode 134 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes for this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. To leave a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rose.
Keep on learning.